The title of this morning's message, I don't know if people always like a title, or some do. What can you do for God? You know, He's given us so much. He's taken care of us in so much ways. What can we do for Him? If you would stand with me and turn to Psalm 119. I don't suppose you ever heard of Psalm 119. Kind of one of the longest in the Bible. Psalm 119, we'll start reading with 1, and we'll read through 16. We won't try to stand and read the whole chapter. Psalm 119, starting verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart. When shall I have learned Thy righteous judgments? I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Verse everybody probably knows, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Let's pray. Father, we thank You once again. We can be in Your house. Thank You we can be in a church that teaches the truth, then use the King James Bible and sticks with it. Thank You for that. And I just thank You, Lord, to have a good pastor here just needing to get some healing. So, Lord, we just pray for Your healing to be soon. And, Lord, we understand, though, it's not our timing but Yours. So we leave that in Your hands. Ask You now, just each one of us, to hear something, to learn something, to understand something today that we might not have thought about in time past. And then we can take that and apply it to our lives. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you can be seated. You know, you might ask, if God has everything, then what might we be able to give Him? And we learned about something like that one time when we used to live over in Albuquerque. We've lived in a lot of places. We lived in Albuquerque, and we liked to go up to the Indian Pueblos north of Albuquerque. And we'd been there several times, and we were invited to come up, but we thought, well, we've got to take them something. What can we take to an Indian? I mean, they make their own stuff. They grow their own stuff. They, you know, all that. So what do? We went to Dunkin' Donuts, took some donuts. At least something they didn't have there. But you know, sometimes we look at and think, you know, the Lord has everything. What can we give to Him? Even though He has almost everything, there are still things He wants from us. He wants things from us. And we're going to look at that today. He has given us the opportunity to have everything that we have. I believe our jobs, our income, our homes, our car, everything we have, He has provided for us. One way or another, He has provided it all. And I'm glad I don't have to rely on the devil to provide me things. Thank You, God. He's provided for us the right blueprint. There's a blueprint. If there's any question you have about anything in life, anywhere, the answers are right here. I used to counsel with recurring drug addicts and alcoholics, and I never had one question yet brought to me that I couldn't answer from the Bible. So He gave us the perfect blueprint. He put the right people in your life to show you your need to accept Jesus. I was saying this morning, and when I was looking at this, a man by the name of Mr. Strasburg, can't even remember his first name, but Mr. Strasburg led me to the Lord when I was a kid. I hate to tell you, but it was clear back in 1954. Talking about being Christian 22 years, oh my, you're a child. But I'm so thankful that God has put, think about who helped lead you to the Lord. How often do you ever tell God, thank You, that You put that person in your life at the right time to show you your need for the Lord and to help you understand you need to accept Him as your Savior. You know, thank God for that person. That person, those persons, sometimes are going to be a pastor, might not be a Sunday school teacher. We got stuff going on downstairs right now. Those ladies down there working with those kids are very, very important.
Yes.
Don't ever discount the fact that they're down there talking to the kids. What about the mothers? How many mothers have the joy of leading their children to come to know the Lord? What a joy that is. Never discount any of that. Jesus paid a high price to provide us our means of salvation. Boy, we were talking in Sunday school this morning about being, you know, I can't imagine the pain and agony He went through. And you know what? It's so neat when you think about it. He knew when He was still in heaven with God the Father, He knew what He was going to go through when He came down to this earth. And yet, He was willing to do that so you and I could have salvation. I'm so thankful I don't have to pray some dead God, some dead statue. I'm so God I can pray, thankful I can pray to the living God, one that can answer my prayers and does answer my prayers. We can be thankful for a lot of things. Our country's going downhill, but we still have one of the best country in the world. We can still be thankful for our country. We can be thankful for having a home to live in. I don't know if anybody here's got a $1 million mansion. If you do, I'll come visit you. I've never been in one. Amen. But we'll all have one in time. We have cars for transportation. Have you ever thought, some of you that ride on that bus, have you ever said, thank you, Lord, for providing that church bus? You know, without that church bus, would you be able to be here every Sunday? Without that driver for that bus, would you be able to be here every Sunday? I mean, think about it. See, we have so much to be thankful for. That's some of the things we can do for Him, give Him as our thanks. And we're going to cover that more as we go here. He's given us a great family. Now, some of us, imagine probably all of us, have some problems within our families. Not every family is perfect. You know, most families, sadly speak, you know, a lot of pastors' families will have at least one child go wayward. But that's not because they weren't taught right. That's because the devil got to them. But we're so thankful to have good families. And people can bring you to church. I'm glad to see your son with you. And it's always good to see a family with a grown adult son, child, that come to church. But good to see you. Especially because you're from Chanute. I mean, that makes, adds a lot to it. So, if He has everything, what can we do for Him? And the first and most important of all, look at, with me, Romans chapter 10. Look at Romans chapter 10. If you've ever been soul witnessing, you've probably used these verses. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is the first and foremost thing you can ever do for God, is to give your life to Him. Give your heart over to Him. There is nothing more important in all your life than to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There's nothing more important. I've seen, you know, working with drug addicts and all that, I saw many a person that relied on their drugs to get their spirits, get their high, whatever. But there's nothing like knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have never in your life ever taken time to accept Christ as Savior, today is the day. The fields are white to the harvest. Today is the day to accept Christ and give Him your heart. So that's one thing He wants from us. Then once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you can do a lot of the things I'm going to mention here. Number one, you can sing for Him. Now, not everybody has a great voice. But so what?
Make a joyful noise.
The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, now I know you may think, well, my neighbor over here, whew, well, I'm singing this, you know, that you may not think it sounds great, but to God, if you're worshiping Him with your song, that's a joyful noise.
Amen.
If your heart is worshiping Him. So don't worry whether you can sing good. Just sing up. Sing loud. We had a guy in a church back in Albuquerque. He couldn't have carried a tune in 3 bushel baskets. He just could not sing. But you know what? He loved the Lord. And about once a month on a Wednesday night, he would sing a special. And he always sang the old rugged cross. But you know, when you knew him and knew his mental status and knew him as a person, he was one that we'd go around. There's not a lady in the world he didn't think was pretty. I mean, every lady he'd shake hands. My, you look pretty today. My, you look pretty today. You know, praise God for somebody like that, though. Amen. How many of us need to spend more time telling somebody how good they look today? Amen. You know, husbands, how long has it been since you told your wife she looked good? Mm. How about your kids? Look at your kids. Man, I'm proud of you. You look great. We need to take time for that. Psalm 60, well, we mentioned that. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Don't worry if your singing's not good. As we, you know, I love we had a big camp meeting down there in Wichita a couple weeks ago, or last week, whatever it was. And I love to sometimes just stop my singing and listen to everybody else. Because I knew there was joy in all that music. People are singing because they love the Lord. And I am so thankful to be able to go to church where we sing the hymn book hymns. Because there's a lot of teaching in the hymn book hymns. A lot of teaching in the verses and the words. Sometimes we ought to stop a little more often and even think about those words. Do you ever think of them when you're singing? Another thing we can do is to praise Him. Turn with me, Psalm 117. Psalm 117. We'll read the whole chapter. All both verses. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. So we can praise Him. You know, whatever goes on, you know, the Bible tells us we're to be thankful no matter what happens. Now, I know it's kind of hard to think, and you're going to praise Him. You pound your thumb with a hammer by mistake. Oh, thank you, Lord. That just hurts so good. Amen. But we're supposed to praise Him and thank Him for everything goes on. How do you do in your life? Do you praise God like you should? You know, some of us are on Social Security and all that. Maybe we're going to get a pay raise January 1st. Supposed to be. I'm praising God. I don't even have to even think about that. And there's been times we go, what, 0.2% increase 1 year? I mean, why even waste the time changing all of it? You know. But praise the Lord. You have so much. Praise Him for His love. When was the last time you really took time to thank God? Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that I have this house to live in. Thank you, Lord, I have the family I have. When was the last time you just praised Him? You know, so many times, and He wants to hear our requests, but He wants to hear praise, too. Yeah. You know, what about you? You know, I love when my wife will tell me, thank you for doing something for her. I tried maybe to even do more than I would, maybe. You know, at work, I used to manage, supervise people before I become a pastor, And I learned a lot of times a good old pat on the back. Hey, Joe, you've done a great job. Thank you. You did great today. You know, a pat on the back sometimes is worth almost as much as a pay raise. Well, what about God? When was the last time you gave God a pat on the back? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, we need to give Him more praise. His grace. For His goodness. For His kindness. Now I know if it was up to me and you do something I don't like, I'm probably not, well, I know I won't. I'm not going to have the kindness that God has when we goof up. That was stupid. Huh? God doesn't say that to us. He just shows, thank God for that, but He just shows us His kindness and His love. Thank God for His power. You know, God is the omnipotent God. He is the all-powerful God. This world has never known a power more than the power of God. When was the last time you thanked Him for His power? When you had a struggle with something, that He give you the power to get through it? You know? So thank Him for His power. So thank Him. Take time when you're praying. Take time to thank him for things he's done in your life. You know, I'll pick on people. Chanute, I always like Chanute area, but thank God for safety. You know, when we traveled to Chanute, we traveled to Topeka and back from Wichita. Every time as we drive in our driveway at home, we say, thank you, Lord, for a safe trip. Mm-hmm. You know, that road out there, you got some crazy drivers, in case you hadn't noticed. But we always like to, as we pull into our driveway, say, thank you, Lord, for another safe trip. Yeah. At least I wasn't the crazy cause of the accident today. You know, but thank you. There's so many things we can thank him for. No, as no, when we sit down to eat a meal, do you always have prayer and thank him?
Yep.
We should. Even when in a restaurant, we should. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the one that provides it for us. So we can praise him and thank him. We can pray to him. Look at Psalm 109, just a few pages back. 109, verse 4. For my love, there are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. How much do you give yourself unto prayer? That's the way we communicate with God. That's one thing we can give to him. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 17 and 18. Probably a lot of you know this one. Pray without ceasing. Pray with, and that doesn't mean, now you don't have to pray with your hands like that when you're driving a car now, okay? That's kind of dangerous. But your attitude of prayer is what he's looking for. You know, when you have a close call, you whoo, thank you, Lord. They didn't hit me, or I didn't hit them. But even when we're driving a car, we can say, praise him, say, thank you, Lord. So never want to forget that. Verse 18 there, in how much? In everything. Give thanks, for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. You know, we had a son killed in a car wreck when he was 21 years old. And we still gave God thank you. Thank you. We got to have him live with us for 21 years. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. He had started Bible college on Monday and was killed in a car wreck on Saturday. But thank you, Lord, for having him in our life. You know, no matter what goes on, good, bad, or indifferent, we should be giving God thanks for what goes on. Thank you for this temptation I faced. We talked about temptation this morning in Sunday school. See, if you don't come to Sunday school, you miss a lot. But we talked this morning, you know, that sometimes we are tempted. But look at what Jesus, 40 days, 40 nights, he was tempted. But did he give in? No. I'm thankful that God allows us to be tempted to try our faith, to let us prove to him and show him that we love him more than we love all that other stuff.
Right.
You know, we need temptation and trials in our life. Now, sometimes you may say, well, boy, I feel like I'm just about up to here, though. Lord, I need help. Well, he'll help you get through it. No matter what's going on, be thankful to God for the negatives, for the positives. You know, we got so much to be thankful for. You know, sometimes, of course, I heard when I was a kid, you know, eat your whole meal. There's children all over the world who are starving to death. And, you know, well, you know, that isn't why I ate, but I ate because I knew if I didn't, I was in trouble. You know, I had such mean parents. I mean, I understand. My mom cooked brain. She cooked heart, liver, whatever. We were kind of poor, so she had an arrangement with the plant down there. When they butcher a cow, we'd get the brain and the tail and all that stuff. But you know what? It didn't kill me. I guess I'm still alive, I think. You know? But thank God for the food you have. You know, really. And he provides. We just need to praise him that he feels like he wants to provide for us. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, you're here today. We're all up and walking. Of course, some of us not as good as others. But we're up and walking. I have people say, well, at least you're not pushing up daisies. And I love when they tell me that because it gives me a chance to witness. I tell them, you know what? If my body's pushing up daisies, I'm already in heaven with the Lord, my soul. Amen. And praise God. I don't. If he wants to put me on the ground today, that's fine. Because I know where my eternity is.
Amen.
And we need to praise God that we know, and we can know that we know, where our eternity is. Thank God for his word. There's no mistakes in the Bible. In our King James Bible, there are no mistakes.
That's right.
And I am so thankful for that. If you want to stay here about 3 or 4 hours, I could take you through probably 100 different verses to tell you you can't lose your salvation. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot lose your salvation. Mm-hmm. And I am so thankful for that.
Amen.
There's been times I certainly did things I'm not proud of. I'm not going to tell you about. But God did not take my salvation away. He waited with open arms for me and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He waited with open arms to bring me back in where I belong. Thank God for your salvation. Thank God you only get punished for everything you do wrong. When I was a kid, you know, I guess corner in the principal's office is made for little boys. I swear, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time facing that corner. So you can, but, and you know, if you've got kids that are a little bit ornery, so what they'll, well, maybe they'll grow out of it, maybe not. But just thank God for your children, for your parents. You know, my parents, I'd say I love my dad because he's my dad, but I never did learn to like him as a person. But I still had to be obedient. And I was obedient until he died. You know, but I loved him because he was my dad. Now, Mom was one of those, my word, you see her 20 yards away, and she's already got her arms out ready for a hug. You know, That's where I get some of mine. I have to have about 100 hugs a day to be happy. You know, just, I don't care, male, female, boy or girl, whatever. I like hugs. And I think God just helped make our arms so they bend good so we can put our arms around somebody and hug them. So, and if you're not comfortable with it, I don't want to hug you. You know, but I like my hugs. But thank God that you were raised in such a way that you love other people. You know, what we all need to learn to do is to be able to accept people for who they are, not what they are.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, you know, if the town drunk walked in that back door, I would hope and pray, and I think it would happen in this church, somebody would go back and grab his hand, welcome him in, sit down,
Amen.
Maybe have him sitting with you. You know, he may not be the most easy person to want to love, and his breath might, you might get drunk from his breath, but praise God. You know, we're to love everyone.
That's right.
I don't see anywhere in my Bible where Jesus said he didn't love this person because he was such a bad sinner.
Mm.
I don't see anywhere that says that.
Right.
And if he didn't act that way, then why should you and me?
That's it.
You know, dealing with drug addicts and alcoholics, you had to have a lot of patience. Because you'd work with them today and they're getting all right, doing good, and then tomorrow they can be right back to where they were the day before. But you know, we're still supposed to love them. Sometimes I know my personality, I upset people. Believe it or not, some people don't like me sometimes. In fact, some people don't like me all the time. But you know what? I still love them. Whether you like me or not, I don't care. Well, I do, but I don't, you know, in that sense. But praise God, there's people around that we can shake hands with, we can love on, and all that. So thank you, Lord. Then one another important thing here, we can study his word. We have the privilege of studying his word. Look at 2 Timothy. That's not very far behind us, where we are right here. 2 Timothy. Verses that I think everybody will know. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15.
Yeah.
Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, study is how you can rightly divide the word of truth. Reading doesn't help us as much as studying. There's a difference. It's great to read your Bible through once or twice a year. That's great. But you need to take time also to find verses and study and see what they really, really mean. And the most important thing is, as you study your Bible, it's important that we learn to study with looking for an idea, something out of that verse or those verses that we can apply to our lives and live better for God. See, that's what we're supposed to do as we study. is how can I learn from this enough to apply it to my life, to live it out before Him? You know, that's important that we study. Not just read, but study. And you know what? He's given us all the ability to do that. And I've told people, as we've worked with nursing homes, some people can't read very good. Some people's eyes just don't work. I'm getting cataracts on mine, and I don't see as good as I used to. And one day is going to have them cut off. But you know what? If you can't read, how about getting dramatized thing on, what I'm going to say, on cassette, but I guess that tells how old I am. Some of you probably didn't know what cassette even is. But you can get dramatized versions of the Bible on CDs, and you can listen to His Word that way. Okay? Don't tell me you can't study His Word. You can even, if you can still read, you can read commentaries to help you. Now, just be careful whose commentaries you're reading. Yep. There can some lead you down a wrong path. But find good ones to read and study. So take time to study. That's one thing you can do for God, is to study His Word so you know Him better. Mm-hmm. Know what He wants of us. You don't have to be ashamed then. Study His Word. But here in big, bold letters here, how can you ever live like He wants you to live if you don't know what He's put in the Bible?
Yep.
How can you know what He wants from you if you haven't studied the Bible to find out?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. And then, go back to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119 and verse 9. We need to pay attention to God. We need to pay attention. You know, how many times has He spoken to you in that still small voice, and He speaks to you and you don't pay any attention? And then you go off and do something you shouldn't do. Verse 9 here says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word.
Mm-hmm.
You want to live the way you're supposed to live? Pay attention to God. Pay attention to His word. You know, you've got a good pastor here. Pay attention to His word. I can't imagine in my wildest imagination, I can't imagine He's ever told a lie about God's word from this pulpit. I can't imagine He would have ever done that. When God speaks, listen. Sometimes God speaks to people. Sometimes He speaks to His Bible. But listen, learn, pay attention. And again, when you're reading, pay attention to what you're reading. Don't just read through this so you can say, well, I read through the whole Bible and it's only September and I've already read through it once this year. That's great. Praise God you did that. Now read it again. But then as you read it, take time to study. When you see something, you're reading the Bible all of a sudden and something looks like, I don't quite understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, praise God you don't understand it. But that means you need to maybe go back and read it again. Maybe go back and read the whole chapter. Read the whole book. God will give you an understanding if you ask for it. You might have to say, stop and pray when you're reading and say, Lord, I don't quite understand what I just read. And He's going to probably say, well, thank you. I'm glad you're paying that much attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You want... Had nothing to do with this, I guess, but in a sense. So you want to really see a strange reaction out of your pastor. Sometime go up to him and say, Pastor, what did you say about such and so that you said this morning? I didn't quite understand that. And he'll think, wow, somebody was listening. Somebody was paying attention. So you want to floor him sometime, just do that. You know, as a pastor, it's kind of neat when people say, I didn't quite understand. Because that gives you a chance then to explain it better.
Yep.
You know, so think about that. And then the next one I had here, just go back to Psalm 100, just a short ways before where you are. Psalm 100. And we're going to look at verse 2. Psalm 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord. He wants you to, how can you say, well, how can I serve the Lord? Maybe I can't go out and walk on the streets and go door knocking. You ever go eat at a restaurant? Leave one of the church cards with your tip. That's another way of serving the Lord. Just leaving something. When you pay your bills, put a tract in with your bills when you pay your bills. You know, most everything I have is just on automatic deduction. But I pay my credit card bill separately by check so I can see what's on that thing so that I know somebody didn't get a hold of it and use it buying other stuff. And you know what? I don't know how many years I've had that credit card, but I still put a tract in there every time I mail that off. They maybe have 100 different people that open those envelopes, take those checks, and post them. So I don't want to take a chance somebody will miss. So I put a bill in with it. But you know what? You need to pay your bills on time if you're going to do that. Yeah. You don't want the bad testimony. Say, well, I learned, you know, we need to be responsible. But put that in. When you eat somewhere, leave a tract. Leave a church card, whatever. That's how, another way you can serve the Lord. And every one of us has a talent. Every one of you. There isn't one person here that doesn't have a talent. Are you using that talent for the Lord? Your talent may be doing bookwork. Your talent may be witnessing. Your talent may be singing, leading music, teaching. But every one of us has talent. Are you using that for the Lord? Whatever it might be. Your talent might be you have learned to be a prayer warrior. Oh my, how much the church needs prayer warriors. You might be living over where Bill is over there around a bunch of people my age and older. I'm just thankful I'm not having to live someplace like that. But yet, I would be thankful to live there too if I needed it. I'm thankful there's places like that. But while you're there, you can witness to your nurses. You can witness to the doctors. When you're out in the workaday world, you can witness to your fellow workers. When you're a salesperson, you can witness to the people you're selling to. There's no place that you can't witness. Now, you may get some static over it. But last I knew, we were still in America. And we still have a right to witness if we want to. And now I tell the kids in public school, I say, well, you can't pray in class. You know what? That wouldn't stop me. Because if nothing else, while I'm sitting there. Now, you don't have to have your eyes closed, your hands folded to pray. You can still pray in the classroom. Mm-hmm. They can't stop you, control your mind. You should never be someplace you're not comfortable in praying. If you're somewhere where you're not comfortable to pray, then you need to get out of there real quick. And then you can be faithful. You can be faithful to Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Acts, Roman, Christians. I'll get it here in a minute. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Yeah. How faithful are you to God? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. But are you faithful in your attendance? Do you come to church when the doors are open? Now I'm a visiting pastor. I can get by saying things. But I think we'd all be faithful to Sunday school, to church, to evening church, and to midweek service. If the doors are open, we'll be faithful and attend if we're physically capable. You know? Now, some people can't get out that easy. You know, don't count it against Brother Bill because he can't be here for all those because he can't drive and get here. But if you have the capability of doing it, you ought to be here every time the doors are open. You really should. If you're part of this church, you ought to be here for the prayer breakfast. Now, I know it shows that I like to eat. Some of you don't look this rotund, okay? But it's good to fellowship with others. Be faithful to what the church is doing. Be making plans right now. This week, be making plans to be here for that revival, that Wednesday through Saturday the week of the, what, 22nd or?
22nd
to 26th. Be planning right now to be here. Tell you, it is so uplifting to get around a bunch of preachers and preaching the Word of God and a little bit of shouting and amens and all that. I don't like somebody get out a handkerchief and look at amen, glory be. You know, just it's good to be around other believers. It's good for preachers. I tell you, we had, like, I don't know where it came from. They call it camp meeting. To me, it's just kind of like a revival for preachers almost. But boy, I love to go to those things. I love to hear somebody else preach the Word. I love to hear somebody else's expressions. You know, if you can't preach yourself, then be sure to go when the preaching's on. Go and be there. So plan on being here Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Get your schedule arranged right now. Get it on your calendar right now to be here for that revival. And remember, revival is good for two things. And one is, it is good to bring people to for salvation. Okay? That's part of it. But what does the word revive mean? We need to be revived. We need more help with our own life. Sometimes it gets, when you're, you know, we can get kind of nonchalant with our faith. We can get used to it. But sometimes that revival will help us get it pumped up again and get excited again, get going again, doing more of what we ought to be doing. So plan on being here for that revival. That is so important. Be revived. Get your faith revived. Pray, study, love the Lord. Tell us about Him. Oh my. And then we can shine for Him. We can shine for Him. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. We can shine for Him. I remember when I was a little kid, junior high, I was a shoe shine boy. And I made more money shining shoes than kids did delivering newspapers. But where did I go here? 14 and 15. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Be a light to God, for God, to people. Try to keep a smile on your face as much as possible. At least, if nothing else, it makes people wonder what you're up to. But you know, I really don't like it when I see Christians walk around like this. Well, don't ask my wife how I am first thing in the morning. But as a Christian, we should be able to smile all the time. We should always be able to find a smile. We have so much to smile for, so much to be happy for. So learn to shine for Him. You suppose if you're always happy and shining for Him, you suppose someday somebody may ask you, how come you're so happy all the time? And oh boy, I'd love somebody to ask me that, because that opens a whole thing for me. You know, so shine for Him. And kind of goes along with that, tell others about Him. The Bible tells us to go into all the world. You know, we've got Missions Conference coming up. That's a good time. Missions Conference, Revival, they all go together. Give to missions. I don't know of a church anywhere that can be successful that's not giving to missions. That's just part of it. Don't ever let it bother you that your church gives so much to missions. Because you know what? You and I can't go to all those places. You know, we sang the words for South Africa. I miss that, Pastor. I miss that. Years ago, it used to be when missionaries would come visit, somebody in church would take them to their home and let them stay with them for a few days while they're here doing the conference. Now, we put them up hotels, we put them in the parsonage or whatever. Other, you know, like our church, when people come in, we just put them up in a hotel. You know, I miss those days when we could have missionaries come and share their work with us one-on-one. I loved that. You know, and I know it affected our kids. You know, I wish we could go back to that. But missionaries tell others. What about you? Are you telling others? What makes you so happy in your life? Are you telling others? So see, there's a lot that we can do for God. There's a lot we can do for God. We can sing, we can praise, we can be faithful. Think more in your life. You know, it's always good to do something. How many of you enjoy doing something for somebody else? Well, we all, you know, it really makes us feel good when we help somebody, doesn't it? Well, do something good for God. That'll make you feel good too. Do some of these things for Him. Show Him your love. He's given you so much to be thankful for. Of course, the number one you can do, and again, I don't know everybody in here, know everybody's hearts. The first and foremost, most important thing you can ever do is to give your heart to God. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have no idea, if you've never given Christ your heart, you have no idea what life can be. When I worked with drug addicts, a lot of them use those drugs to cover up. And when they came to find the Lord through all that, man, the change in those people was phenomenal. Because then they could learn to love Jesus. They could live for Him and get their spirit. You know, I just love being a Christian. I can't imagine having to live for a minute without the Lord on my side. I'm so thankful for that. And I don't know about you, all you that are Christians, you ought to be able to say amen to that. You know, we all should be thankful that God saw to it to put somebody in our life to show us the Scriptures that we could get saved. We ought to be thankful for that. So first thing to do is accept Christ your Savior. And then the other thing we can do is remember God doesn't have everything. He doesn't have as much love from us. We don't have all those things I've talked about this morning. So fill His plate with your love, your praise, your thankfulness, your faith. Fill His plate with all that. He wants you. And He wants to hear from you. Now, I don't understand how God can be in heaven up there and can be listening. I don't understand that we could have maybe 500 churches right now getting ready to pray and 500 people all raising a voice to Him in prayer. I don't completely understand how He can hear every word that all 500 of us are saying. But you know what? That doesn't mean it's not true. He can in His ways. So He wants you to give to Him your heart, your life, and all that. So think about that. Let's all stand. We're going to have a verse, invitation time. Have you given your heart to Jesus? Number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, you almost ought to be running down here to this and talk. Come over here and talk to the pastor, whatever. But if you've never accepted Christ your Savior, the best thing you can do right now is come forward. And let somebody show you in the Scriptures what it means to get saved. And then as you think about it, invitation time here, what about your life? Have you been giving to God what you should be giving to Him? Have you been giving Him your time? All the things we talked about? If you're guilty of not doing what you should be doing, again, the altar is open. Just come and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry, I haven't been giving you your just and due. I haven't been giving you the praise. I haven't been showing my faith. Help us. Just ask you now, just think about it. I'm going to pray and then I'm just going to leave it quiet for a minute. Do business with the Lord if you need to. Father, we just ask you now that you'd help each one of us. Help each one of us to review our lives. Think for a few minutes right now. Have we been giving to you what we should be? Have we been praising you like we should, praying to you, showing our faithfulness? And if not, Lord, I pray you would help us each one to look at our life right now, not what other people see of us, but look at our life with you in mind. Are we making you happy with what we give you? Now, Lord, I just pray the altars are open. I just pray for anybody who needs to get right with you, need to do business with you, that people come right now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.